ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? So Nehemiah has a perspective of the situation. I'm busy doing the work of God. I'm rebuilding the wall. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to waste my time getting involved in these other things that are going nowhere. It was a great work. And they wanted, if you remember, they wanted to meet Nehemiah in the plane of, oh no. I think that's hilarious. I love that. Don't go there because you'll be saying, oh no, why did I go here, right? I think God has a great sense of humor. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. One other point, and that's Nehemiah 6:4, the persistence of the enemy. But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. The persistence to get us to compromise. Come on, just do this once. Just go to this. Just don't give in. I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come. Why should the work cease while I leave and go down to you? Don't do it. Understand. You know, religions of the world are going to come together, not because I said so, because God did. There will be a false prophet who will unite the religions of the world together, and we're seeing it come together quickly today. Well, the last point is treachery, AI, artificial intelligence. And again, Nehemiah 6:10, afterward I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Matabal, who was a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come and kill you. So again, this is just treachery, deceitfulness to get Nehemiah and the Jews to stop the work they were doing. Don't hide out in the house of God or be fearful of the enemy. Be involved in the work. You know, God doesn't want us to be fearful. And, you know, we can go into so many things that the government's doing and this, you know, all these things that are happening. But you know what? Don't let it stop you from doing the work. People go, you know, your televisions, they can listen into your conversations at home. Going, man, they're probably pretty bored listening to me. I don't know, man. And if they are listening to me, praise the Lord, because, you know, I'm going to talk about Jesus, so I don't really care. I don't really care because there's a work that I need to do. Now, one of the big things today we hear a lot of talk about is transhumanism. I don't know if that's your ideal person that you want to have as a transhuman, but okay. I mean, I would have picked a younger guy, not someone like my age, but all right. But it's part human, part machine. Are we getting close? I think we are. But I don't think this is going to take place on a large scale until the mark of the beast is given, and I'll show you why. You see, if a person, obviously they're not a Christian, they're in the tribulation period, when they receive the mark of the beast, they can't be saved. They're going to worship the Antichrist and Satan. So, well, yeah, that just makes sense. They're worshiping the Antichrist and Satan. They can't be saved. Now, wait a minute. There are Satan worshipers today who got saved. So what's different here? There's something I think is different, that they can't be saved. And I think it's because of this transhumanism. Now, again, this is my idea. I don't know if it's going to come to pass or not. But I think the mark of the beast is something that is going to control people's lives, and they can't be saved at that, after they receive that mark of the beast. And it's also interesting that the false prophet gives life to the image of the beast. Do you ever think about that? Is that an artificial intelligence that the false prophet is giving life to? I don't know, possibly. You know, Revelation 13, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. He gives life. or really breath to this image of this beast. What does it mean? Well, maybe the machine's turned on. Could be. But he was granted to give power to, or he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. Could that be some kind of transhumanism? Part man, part machine. Possibly. I think it's got to be some kind of AI, because it's got to know, it's got to have the ability to deal with those, all those in the world who have received the mark or those who haven't. It's got to know. And, you know, I barely remember my grandkids' names, let alone every person on the planet. So I think it has some kind of computer capabilities, like, and I think it's AI. I'm going to show you a video that is going to show these aren't just clumsy machines, but the way they can feel and figure out how to grasp things is amazing. I want you to know how they're fine-tuning this, because to me, that's the amazing thing.
Welcome to Giant AI, home of the Universal Worker, a robot that can learn to perform general manufacturing tasks. In this video, we'll investigate the robot's sense of touch. At Giant AI, we use touch sensors to help the Universal Worker understand and interact with the world around it. Our touch sensors are made from a proprietary skin technology and can be modified to fit almost any surface shape or size. This synthetic skin technology is designed to be both low cost and easy to manufacture. Here you can see a pattern of force on the fingertips, and that the sensor can distinguish force applied from different directions. When handling small objects, touch information is especially important for precision manipulation. For large objects, the contact area with the sensor is also larger, giving the robot the capability to estimate the shape and dimension of objects through touch. The touch sensors are also used for precision placement tasks, where touch both helps to guide the object into place and to protect the object and the fingertips from excessive forces. That's all for now. Watch for more clips from Giant AI.
Isn't that incredible? The fine motor skills. I mean, as I'm getting older, I'm having more difficulty with my fine motor skills, you know? Try and tie a fishing lure, you know, put a line on a fishing lure. Oh, my gosh. I'm sitting there going, oh, come on, I got to get the, you know? But look at the detail. And so they're working on this. I'll give you an example of an AI, Dale E2. It produced a black and white vintage photo of a 1920 mobster taking a selfie, and then a sailboat knitted out of blue yarn. It was just told these things. And this is what it came up with the a mobster taking a selfie of himself. Whoop, where did it go? There it is. Pretty incredible. That's what he came up with. Here's the sailboat. Oh, good. There it is there. Wow. You know, that's the technology. The article says what's impressive about Dale E2 isn't just the art it generates. It's how it generates art. These aren't composites made out of existing internet images. They are wholly new creations made through a complex AI process known as diffusion, which starts with a random series of pixels and refines it repeatedly until it matches a given text description. And it's improving quickly. Dale E2's images are four times as detailed as the images generated by original Dale E, which was introduced last year. This is what it produced: a three-dimensional structure of proteins from the one-dimensional amino acid sequence. It solved what was known as the protein folding problem, which vexed molecular biologists for years. This is what it came up with. And they say this summer, DeepMind announced that AlphaFold had made predictions for nearly all of the 200 million proteins known to exist, producing a treasure trove of data that will help medical researchers develop new drugs and vaccines for years to come. Only a few years ago, AI chatbots struggled with even rudimentary conversations, say nothing of more intelligent language-based tasks. But now large language models like OpenAI's GPT-3 are being used to write screenplays, compose marketing emails, and develop video games. He said, I even used GPT-3 to write a book review for this paper last year, and had I not clued in my editors beforehand, I doubt they would have suspected anything. AI is writing code too. More than 1 million people have signed up to use GitHub's Copilot, a tool researched last year that helps programmers work faster by automatically finishing the code snippets. Incredible stuff when you think about this. Are they going to take the place of workers and teachers and possibly? Whether you agree with Elon Musk or not, the guy is a brilliant guy. And I'm going to share with you a video at one of his meetings, and I have to go back because that's where I was supposed to be, but I missed it. And just listen to what he's developing, because this is what's going to be for your home. And these robots are not going to cost $1 million. They're going to be the cost of a car. Think about that. An AI in your home that cheap. But listen to what he says. He's a brilliant guy.
Welcome to Tesla AI Day 2022. I do want to set some expectations with respect to our Optimus robot. As you know, last year it was just a person in a robot suit. But we've come a long way, and it's compared to that, it's going to be very impressive. So should we bring up the bot?
Before we do that, we have one little bonus tip for the day. This is actually the first time we try this robot without any backup support, cranes, mechanical mechanisms, no cables, nothing.
Yeah.
Wanted to do it with you guys tonight, but it's the first time. So let's see.
You ready? Let's go.
Go.
In your Tesla cars, by the way.
This is this is literally the first time the robot has operated without a tether was on stage tonight. So the robot can actually do a lot more than we just showed you. We just didn't want it to fall on its face. So we'll show you some videos now of the robot doing a bunch of other things.
Yeah, we wanted to show a little bit more what we've done over the past few months with the bot. And just walking around and dancing on stage. Just humble beginnings, but you can see the autopilot neural networks running as is, just retrained for the bot directly on that new platform. That's my watering can.
Yeah, when you see a rendered view, that's the robot. That's the world the robot sees. So it's very clearly identifying objects. Like, this is the object it should pick it up.
We use the same process as we did for autopilot to collect data and train neural networks that we then deploy on the robot. That's an example that illustrates the upper body a little bit more.
What you saw was what we call Bumble C. That's our sort of rough development robot using semi off-the-shelf actuators. But we actually have gone a step further than that already. The team's done an incredible job. And we actually have an Optimus bot with fully Tesla-designed and built actuators, battery pack, control system, everything. It wasn't quite ready to walk, but I think it will walk in a few weeks. But we wanted to show you the robot, something that's actually fairly close to what will go into production, and show you all the things it can do. So let's bring it out.
Do it.
So you kind of get the idea where they're at. He wants to make this, again, these robots affordable. Like if you bought a car, that would be the cost of this robot for your house. And because he's going to mass produce these. Last year, remember what he said? We had a guy come out in a robot outfit. This year they had the robot come out. This is how far they've advanced. And what's amazing to me is that every 3 months, the speed of artificial intelligence computation doubles. Every 3 months, back in 2019, it's outpacing Moore's Law. Now, you may think, I didn't know what Moore's Law was, so I had to look it up. It's the principle that the speed and capability of computers can be expected to double every 2 years as a result of increases in the number of transistors a microchip can contain. No longer 2 years, every 3 months. Isn't that crazy when you look at that? And are we creating a Terminator? I don't know. I don't think so, because I know how the world ends, and it's not a Terminator. It's not Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's for sure. But I think when you look at the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, I think they're linked together. I think this mark of the beast has some way of controlling people, because, again, they no longer have a choice in getting saved. They're doomed. How tragic. And so we see, look at all this stuff that's going on. We see this coming against Christianity. We see this global government coming together. We see these global religious leaders coming together to make a global religion. We see all this artificial intelligence and how fast it's coming together. I mean, every 3 months, it's crazy, right? It's every 3 months, it's doubling. Wow. I don't know about you, but you wonder, and I couldn't find out where we're at in 2022 or 20 or 21. I couldn't get that information, but I wonder if it's even faster. They are able to figure things out, the artificial intelligence, things that would take 10, 15, 20 years for scientists to figure out. That's how quickly they can come up with solutions. And it's really, you know, you think about it, is that evil? Well, no, that's not evil. I mean, think about it. You use it for medicine. You use it for all kinds of things. It could be very good. But you put it in the hands of the wrong people, which you'll have a global government, and it can be very bad. And that's the issue. That's what we have to worry about. Now, again, how does Nehemiah deal with this? Well, again, we're told in Nehemiah 6, verse 15, or actually it should be verse 11 through 13. I don't know where I got 6:15 to 1. I don't even know what that means. But this is what he said. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Don't let fear or what people are saying or threats cause you to do something God doesn't want you to do. You bring it before the Lord. Think about it. Has God brought you through other things before? Yeah. He'll bring you through again. Choose faith over fear. I think that's important. I like what happened as Nehemiah and the children of Israel stayed focused. They stayed focused upon the Lord. They trusted the Lord. And we're told, here it is, Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Now think about it. The walls of Jerusalem were built in 52 days. They didn't have bulldozers. They didn't have trucks. This was all done by hand in 52 days because they set their mind on the work and didn't let fear cause them to stop the work. They didn't let discouragement cause them to stop the work. 52 days. And I'll tell you, you can spend your entire life looking at what's going on in the world. I would back off a little bit and spend your time in the Word of God. You need to know what's going on in the world. I'm not saying ignore that, but don't spend hours and hours and hours and hours in that stuff. Spend it in the Word of God and let God comfort your heart, encourage you, and direct your life. I mean, what did Jesus say? Occupy until I come, right? We're to be a light in this dark world. And I would encourage you, watch what's going on in Israel. Watch what's going on in the Muslim nations surrounding Israel. Watch what's going on with Russia. It's incredible. Russia has troops in the Middle East now. They've had it for a few years. You know, Israel has found not only gas deposits, but huge oil deposits, probably more oil than any other place in the world. Is that the hook that brings Russia into this battle? It could be Syria launching some kind of nuclear weapons towards Israel and Israel toasting Syria, Damascus, being completely wiped out. And thus Iran, Russia, Turkey, and these other Muslim nations coming down against Israel. Could be. Israel is the key factor. 1948, when it became a nation, a group of people that were almost dead, World War II almost killed 6 million Jews, murdered them by Hitler. God's told Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, can these bones live? Ezekiel's like, God, you know. I mean, I have no idea. You know. And God showed him. He brought those bones to life. Israel became a nation. And you know what comes after chapter 37 in Ezekiel? Chapter 38. I was just testing. No. Chapter 38 and 39 is this Russian and Muslim invasion against the Jews. When does it happen? After Israel's back in the land. That happened in 1948. In 1967, they got this, I believe it was 67, they got the city of Jerusalem back, the Temple Mount, even though they gave it back to Moshe Dayan. Moshe Dayan, excuse me, gave it to Jordan, and Jordan now has given it to the Palestinians. I think there is one reason for that to happen, because if the Jews had possession of the Temple Mount, they would have built the temple already. They are prepared. They are ready to build the temple. They need the word to do it. And in Daniel chapter 9, it is the Antichrist that makes a covenant with the Jews. I believe that covenant is to rebuild their temple. And in Revelation, John is told, measure the temple proper, leave out the outer court because it's been given to the Gentiles. You know what? The Dome of the Rock, that big gold mosque or building, it's not a mosque, an Al-Aqsa mosque that's on the Temple Mount, is in the outer court. So the temple could be built on that Temple Mount with the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque still standing, just like God said in Revelation. They have all the implements for the temple to be rebuilt, the priestly garments, the menorah, or a seven-branched oil-burning lamp, the crown that the high priest would wear, the clothes for the high priest, the brazen altar, the table of showbread, all that. They have it all ready. You can go and look. I forgot the name of the group that's doing it. We went to visit them when we were in Israel, Temple Institute. Incredible. This stuff is all there. They are ready to get, once they get word, to rebuild it. The priests have already been trained in the sacrifices. They, I believe, have the red heifer. Can't have any white spots or anything on it. Is it time yet? I don't know. I think that red heifer is probably not the one. We'll see. But they are ready. You look at all these things, and you know what? You know the time is getting close. That's exciting. Not a time to be fearful, not a time to go, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? It's a time to be very excited at what God is doing. Rest your hope fully upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, be patient, steadfast. You know, keep your eyes on the Lord, man. Be patient, therefore, James says, until the coming of the Lord. A farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. You see that? Be patient. Hang in there. Don't give up. Be in the Word of God. Be excited at what God is doing. You know, Charles Spurgeon put it like this. He said, a man to whom it is given to wait for a reward keeps up his courage. And when he has to wait, he says, it is no more than I expected. I never reckoned that I was to slay my enemy at the first blow. I never imagined that I was to capture the city as soon as ever I had digged the first trench. I reckoned upon waiting, and now that has come, I find that God gives me the grace to fight on and wrestle on till the victory shall come, and patience saves a man from a great deal of haste and folly. Yeah, how true that is. You know, God's told us what the last days are going to be like so we're not caught unaware. So don't give up, don't hide away, continue in the work until he returns. And I think it's getting close, you know. As James said, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Can we do that? I pray that we can. I pray that we can be patient, wait upon the Lord, and be directed by him to bring the gospel message to a lost and dying world. Let's pray. Now, Father, there's so much information, and we just scratched the surface There's so much out there. But Lord, I just pray that it helps to encourage each and every one of us that, yeah, these things are coming into play, that these Bible prophecies are coming to pass. And Lord, there's work for us to do to reach out to this lost world, this hurting world, and bring them the good news of Jesus Christ. Give us the boldness, empower us by your Spirit to go forth with the work you called us to do. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.